Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Mirror, Mirror. It was written by Dean Chomshack. Our game master is Thomas McKeon, and this is episode six. I will be doing the recap as my character, Clifton Hawk. The tension is just about as tense as it can be at this point. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. It has been said in the Bible, I think, that the world we perceive is as if we were looking into a mirror darkly, and that in the end we shall see clearly. I'm not so sure that's a good idea. What if the revelation is more terrifying than anything we've ever imagined? We recovered the book. It was given to us by a ghoul. She warned us that something was trying to get through, something bad. It's always something bad. I have yet to hear of anyone opening a musty old book and having an angel show up to make everything all right. My first thought was to get out of the situation. I thought that we should turn the book over to the authorities and wash our hands of the whole thing. But after I had set the wheels in motion, I realized that was a mistake. Thank God for Trent. I made it easy for them to hijack the tome while I was in the bathroom. I met up with them later. We needed to know more. We needed to find out what was behind this. So we headed over to the old Jardins place to see what we could find. Now, Trent Sterling is a good man, but I think the book began to influence him. Once we started exploring the old dilapidated manor house, Trent snuck off and started reading the goddamn book. And that's when all hell broke loose, literally. The book summoned something. It made an invisible wall between us that knocked me on my ass when I tried to stop him. I was a bit dazed, but from the best I can recollect, there was a struggle between the rest of them. In the end, the house got burned and the book got tossed into it. But there was something else, a mirror, or the frame of a mirror with a weird writing on the back, writing like in the crimson letters. I've looked into the eyes of the red beast, and the fog is clearing from my eyes, and I don't want to see what's there. We got back to Radley's place in the pitch black. We were surprised there were no lights on at all. I went to check on the power with Dr. Thompson, and we found weird damage to the power lines. Something had gnawed them through. That's when I heard the screaming from inside. Bamboni was levitating in the air, gripped around the neck by something invisible. I fired my gun into the space, and whatever it was dropped him. We heard more screaming upstairs, a woman's voice. Halfway up the stairs, I realized what's got to be done. I turned and ran towards the ballroom with the intentions of smashing that goddamned mirror. But just as I grabbed the poker from a nearby fireplace, I glanced at our car through the window, and with an earth-shaking thud, the car was flattened by an unseen force. There's no escape for us now. The hidden truths are about to be revealed.
All right. So the large majority of you have also heard this slam and stopped in place, and you all see Hawk, who's just standing there in the hallway looking out the open door. It's still raining, thunder is crashing, the wind is howling, and it's completely silent other than those things.
Okay.
I've got to get to that mirror and smash it.
All right. So all of you see Hawk run down the hall with the poker in his hand.
I'm gonna follow after him.
Yeah, I'll follow. I'm after too.
Yeah, I'm not staying here on my own.
Well, now remember, you guys were halfway up the stairs going after the screaming person upstairs, the woman's voice.
I was with you, if you remember.
Oh no, I thought I was in the basement.
No, everyone has returned to the first floor. the majority of you other than Thompson are up the stairs or halfway up the stairs because you heard the scream. Thompson was with Hawk in the parlor, and then Hawk left the parlor into the hall, saw the flattened car.
So you still have the girl screaming upstairs.
Well, her screams have stopped. So what do you do? What does the group do?
Well, Hawk, you said you were running to the parlor, to the...
Yes. The my character doesn't know it, but you guys know that Bree was half-eaten in the basement or in the kitchen.
Oh, well, I just typed that into the chat. Hawk and Thompson don't know. So Hawk is rushing down the hallway... as is Thompson, who's kind of hobbling behind him. If you remember, he was injured.
I'm kind of beat up, so I'm following somebody. Whoever's closest to me, I'm just going to follow the lead.
Well, look, if someone's screaming and someone's in danger, we can't just leave them. We've got to go after. I'm going up there.
Me too, then.
Okay.
I'll follow wherever Hawk is gonna do.
Okay, so Fowler kind of pushes his way past the group and runs down the stairs and into the hall. What about you, Mr. Anderson?
Probably gonna... First of all, can you explain a little bit more about the car? Like, if I glanced out the window, what would I see?
You would see a flattened car.
Like, as if a wall fell on it?
As if something of immense size and weight literally just came down on it. It's as flat as a pancake.
Okay.
Did you ever see Godzilla versus Bambi?
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
That's kind of what I was like trying to figure out. Like, was it like one force that flattened the whole thing, or was it like something smashed it with its fists, like the Hulk or something, or like you know, no, like.
It is like a giant foot has come down and boom, smashed it.
Okay. And okay, and nobody's really reacting to that either.
I would like Mr. Sterling to give me an intelligence roll.
Intelligence. That's a pass by 5.
All right. So this was not brought up when we last played. Because it happened so quick and you guys ran up the stairs because you heard the scream. But the crystals that were found on Bree downstairs resemble the crystals that you found protruding from the deer in the woods.
Okay.
Something else that we have forgotten was towards the end of last episode, we were talking about doing sanity rolls, but we never did them. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. We're building on that. I've kept track.
Okay. We're in the heat of battle, so.
Yeah. When the tension dies down a little bit, that's when the sanity's going to hit you. We'll see the fun.
I was just thinking that we drove from the house that we burned to here, and we didn't do any sanity rolls then. So. But whatever.
Don't worry. We'll build on that. Especially you, Mr. Hawk. All right, so...
I guess to answer your question directly, I'm hesitating to look out the window at the car to see what happened. And I'm also looking at the guys running up the steps. And once I get to the point where I don't see anything outside, I'll start heading upstairs too.
Okay. So...
And also to sort of... explain something to Tommy's character is that I saw the thing smash, and all I know is that there is some force here that's evil, and I need to smash that mirror. So that's why I haven't stopped to think about it at this point. Everything will stop if I smash that mirror, is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
All right. So, Hawk. Henry and Dexter. Hawk is rushing down the hallway with the poker in his hand. You two are kind of following behind him. It's safe to assume Hawk, that you're kind of in this panicked frenzy.
I'm also expecting resistance. I mean,
every time we've
gone to some place weird, there's been some sort of weird resistance.
There is no resistance as you walk down the hall. The lightning crashes and it illuminates the hall. You see, just here's the hallway, and surprisingly, the door to the ballroom is open, as if they were expecting you.
Okay. Without hesitation, I'm just going to go in and swing that thing at the mirror. The mirror is on the wall right inside the door, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This would be a good opportunity for Dexter or Henry to possibly stop Hawk if they feel it's necessary.
I'll say, hey, Hawk, just wait.
Yeah, I'm not going to respond to that.
All right. Hawk enters the ballroom. What do Dexter and Henry do? Do you follow inside?
I kind of pull up my gun and I kind of point it to Clifton. I'm like, Clifton, stop.
Okay, a gun has now been drawn. Mr. Hawk, you see the gun, it's being pointed at you. Or kind of casually pointed at you, I'll say.
I'm going to disregard it and smash the fucking mirror.
Okay.
I am swinging.
Hawk, you bring down the poker, and you hear a crack. And when you look more clearly, the iron poker has stabbed into the wallpaper and wood beside the mirror.
Okay.
I'm
surprised.
Get closer to him, like, Clifton, stop!
You remove the fire poker and try again?
Yeah, I'm like, we have to smash the mirror.
All right. In your frenzy, you try hitting several times, but each time, you miss the mirror.
Oh.
It's just bang, 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 and it's just, you can see the holes of where you're hitting, and you know that you're aiming directly for the glass, but it's you're hitting the sides nonstop.
So I can't hit the mirror.
And Dexter and Henry are watching this happen. You swing with such ferocity and then bang into the wall, like you're trying to hit the wall.
I put my gun away. Well, I'll not really put it away, but I kind of lower it.
I move back 5 feet from it and I throw the poker at the damn thing.
I need you to give me, we'll say, an intelligence roll. No, give me a power roll.
Power roll. I got a 76 out of a 75.
Oh, so still
I
a fail.
Missed it by one. Can I use luck?
You can use luck, sure.
I'll burn a luck point to make it.
All right. You throw the poker. It kind of jostles in the air, sure, but it still hits the mirror, and it's the butt, it's the iron butt of the poker that smashes up against the top right part of the mirror, and it splinters down towards about the middle, and all you feel is this sickening dread. It's not incapacitating, but it's just you feel this horrible feeling, like you can keep breaking the mirror and something bad could happen. It's like it's dying and it's willing to lash out. It's like you've cornered an animal.
Okay, I probably scream something at it like, die, motherfucker!
So now we're going to go to the three that are walking up the stairs. It is pitch black. That's something I should let you guys know. You guys haven't turned on a light.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten there's a candle. There's no power. The only light you have currently is the flashes of lightning that are outside occasionally.
Do we have flashlights?
I remember that Dexter pulled his out.
I've got a lighter.
Right? So Felix has pulled out his lighter. It's illuminating the second floor. You see all the doors are closed. Which room would you like
to
go in?
I've got a knife out as well, or a knife out. I guess the first door that we come to, really. We don't know where the noise came from, do we? Couldn't tell anything other than it was upstairs.
It could have been on the third floor too. You don't know, the attic.
Was it muffled like behind a door or out in the open? Or can we even tell that?
You couldn't really tell.
Okay.
Do you need a reminder of the rooms?
Yes, please.
So there was the room that Felix stayed in, which we'll call bedroom one. There was the room that Baldwin Lee disappeared from, which we'll call bedroom two. The servant's bedroom, bedroom three. Bedroom four is Radley's bedroom.
Well, logic would suggest that if we heard the voice of a woman, it would have come from the servant's bedroom.
All right.
Or at least that's the first place. Have either of you got a gun?
I do. I have a shotgun.
Okay. Look, by the way, just in case anything happens, Sterling, really sorry about earlier.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My back. The knife.
The knife, right.
Yeah. Okay. I literally stabbed you in the back.
I wasn't really awake to witness this, so it's all right. I understand.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was the heat of the moment. I'm sorry, but it was the only thing I could think to do. I just want you to know it's nothing personal. It's, you know, I hope you don't bear a grudge.
It is because it is during your conversation, and it is when Felix says finishes the word grudge that Tommy feels a whip and is pulled back into the dark. I need Tommy to give me a strength roll, please.
Fail. 78 out of 50.
So you feel this constrictor wrap around you, and it just it pulls you in, and you can't see anything. It's pitch black. You couldn't, anyways. But it feels cold, and it feels slimy, and it feels jagged, like knives, like the edges of knives all digging into you as it kind of curls around you. So I need you to do 2 points of damage. You hear Tommy scream in agony as he's pulled into the darkness and then is dragged down the stairs by some invisible force.
Quick, after him.
I was going to ask you that. So since we just came up the stairs, this thing grabbed me and it pulled me back down the stairs?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
After him.
All right, so you rush to the stairs and you just see Tommy being pulled down the stairs and he can't move.
Get it off me!
Fire behind him. That worked before. Fire where it should be. That's what got rid of it before.
Do I have a shot that wouldn't hit him?
With a shotgun, probably not.
That's what I'm saying. It's a shotgun. It's not. I'll run towards him and see if I can.
I'm gonna throw my knife at just sort of behind where something would be if something was pulling him. Just instinctively, where I think it would be.
Bony, I need you to
behind and above a little bit, I guess.
Give me a dex roll. Or not a dex roll. Yeah, just give me an attack roll.
I've got a throw roll.
Throw is fine.
That's what I used last. 58 out of 60.
All right. You throw, and it whizzes past Tommy, and you see it literally in midair bounce off of something. Tommy, you are released. Trent, what are you doing? You've just seen the Bamboni throw this knife. You can see that Tommy has kind of collapsed to the stairs.
Well, Tommy has collapsed. I run closer to him and aim above him, where it makes sense that something might be, and shoot.
I'm just gonna try and just grab his hand or something, and grab his wrist, and just try and pull him up the stairs, get him out of there as quickly as possible.
So I need Trent to give me an attack roll just for the sake of things.
Like my firearm shot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 27, that is very good. It's out of 64.
Roll damage.
How far away am I?
You don't know. Let's say point blank range.
Okay. Eleven.
You hear a blood curdling scream as something, as you watch the pellets literally blast out and hit something, an invisible force, and then fall to the ground. Give me one memento. You can't see, so there's no point.
A memento roll? Just
let's see. Holy shit! You feel something come down on your left arm, and it does 7 damage to your left arm. Is that more than half?
Just a second. Holy crow. That's like more than half, yes. That's all.
You feel the bone in your arm snap. And you feel the sinew and muscle stretch as something pulls literally half of your arm out into the middle of the air. There's just a chunk of you is just floating. Blood is spewing.
I'm at zero, so I'll go patong to the floor.
Yep. So Trent screams and collapses to the floor. We're now going to jump to the other three. By the way, this will be a good time for Tommy and Felix to do their sanity rolls. So I need Felix to give me 2 sanity rolls, and I need Tommy to also give me 2 sanity rolls.
The first one is a fail, and the second one is a success.
Wow. I rolled 2 really good rolls.
The first one is for the experiences that happened at the abandoned house. So though Tommy, you passed, still take 3 off. Sure. I need the Bamboni, the great Bamboni, to do a 1d8.
Holy crap. Oh, 3.
Well, that's good. Now we're going to go to what's happening here. You still pass, so we're going to say that's a 3 as well. So you've entered into temporary insanity. And Felix, you've also passed, so that's another 3, temporary insanity. You need to feel safe before you are brought out of it. I will message you what your insanity is, what's going to be happening, while we jump over to the other three. So the other three, you hear everything. What do you do? You hear screams and a gunshot and another scream, and what are you doing?
I'm going to. I'll run up and investigate. I'll look to Hawk and say, continue at that mirror. Try to break it.
Well, I'm trying to.
If you need to.
I'm kind of stunned and at a loss. My brain is kind of fried at the moment, but I look over at Felix. I'm not Felix. I look over at Dexter, and I have a concerned look on my face, and I say, what's going on in the other room?
I'm like, I don't know what's going on in that room.
Go find out.
I'm not letting you run around in that mirror.
Why are you protecting the mirror?
Why do you have the mirrors? Why are you attacking the mirror so much?
Because it's causing all of this insanity.
No, I don't think it is.
Why don't you think?
We don't have time for this. I'm going to head up and check on the others. Hawk, continue at that mirror. Felix, come with me. I'll use that gun of yours. We might need it upstairs. Let's go.
You mean
Felix?
Dexter. Yeah.
Or Dexter, Fowler, whatever your name is. I don't give a fuck. Let's go.
Okay.
So cool to see an old professor use that kind of language.
Okay.
I kind of follow, and I'm like, I give Clifton like a evil stare, like.
Okay. As soon as they're gone, I'm going to walk up to the mirror, and I'm going to say to it, I'm going to destroy you.
Nothing happens other than that overwhelming sense of dread. But we'll have Fowler and Trent. Fowler and Henry. Sorry. Fowler and Henry leave and walk down the hallway. Are you running? Or are you walking? What's the sense of urgency here?
We heard gunshots, so I'm running.
I'm going to be kind of in like a not full out sprint, but kind of like in haste. Like, let's
okay.
Hurry up and.
Okay, so you kind of rush down the hallway and you turn to where the door to the library is in the stairs. Door still open, lightning flashes, and when the lightning flashes, you see on the stairwell Trent with his left arm literally hanging on by several layers of muscle. And you see Tommy clutching him, blood pooling onto the steps and kind of dripping off the baseboard. You don't see Felix anywhere. Felix is gone.
What the fuck happened?
Tommy.
I'm sorry, I was looking up the rules on dying, so. I missed that, but
for those listening, we'll just say that Trent has a few turns before he dies. Okay. I'll say
he's unconscious. Yeah,
he's unconscious, but he will die because he's bleeding out. He got it. He had massive damage, so he's bleeding out. If he does not get real treatment or someone does something to help him, he will die.
Yeah, that's what I would probably do. Is I'm shocked and confused and in pain still from what grabbed me, but I'm going to see him laying on the floor and try to grab him and attend those rooms at the first aid.
Yeah, And Tommy, you don't know where Felix ran off to, but he ran away.
Okay. So now, so he was the one with the lighter. So now we're in complete blackness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I still. Well, I have my flashlight out, right?
Fowler does have his flashlight, so you're not in complete darkness.
Okay, you just came up the steps.
Yeah.
But Tommy is shaking rather violently. Trent's completely unconscious. He's turning pale. And whatever attempts that Tommy is making, it's to save Trent. It's not working. He's just kind of like going like this.
Yeah. Do something. Do something, Fowler. Save him.
I don't really have that much for say, but try and get as much bandages and stuff like that to kind of stop the bleeding. Also, you need a tourniquet to make sure that the blood stops, and I basically go through the whole first aid kind of.
Do you have bandages?
No, not on me.
Here, use my shirt.
Is the monster still there?
That's the question, because you can't see it.
You can see it.
Is it lying on Trent's hand, arm?
I know it dropped me, so I'm assuming it was either hurt or killed. That would be my assumption.
Okay. So, Trent, or Fowler, I need you to roll a first aid.
Fix him.
Oh, I passed.
Okay. So, you've managed to wrap a tourniquet around Trent's arm, and hopefully, and you've successfully stopped the bleeding. But at this point, no matter what, his arm's probably going to need to be amputated.
No, yeah, I knew that. It was just the I'll go through the whole.
Trent, you have one health point. You've come back to consciousness, but you can't feel your left arm.
That's wonderful. Thanks. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Whoever did this. Thank you.
Actually, I think it was amputated.
I thought it was floating in the air above the side.
No, I see a very large chunk, a chunk about the size of my fist has just been ripped out.
Wonderful.
So
it was my left arm, though, right?
It was just your left arm. No, who cares about the left arm? Who cares about the left one? All right, one. All right, yeah. So the unimportant arm, you can't feel it. But Trent, when you look around, you see Henry and you see Dexter, but you don't see Felix.
Where's Felix? Where'd the Bamboni go?
I think he ran.
All right.
I think they didn't get him, did it?
Which we might consider doing.
We're gonna jump to Hawk now. Hawk, you've pried the mirror off of the wall. It's big, it's heavy, it's difficult to kind of set down. What do you do now?
Well, what I want to do is just push it over onto the ground, see if the back has got writing all over it.
Yep, the writing has, there's writing chiseled into the entire back. It's all over these symbols.
Well, what I'm basically doing at this point is just let it fall flat forward on the ground. And hopefully that'll smash more of it. But
and you do hear a crack.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
Well, that probably took a round.
It's quiet. All around you.
Is there any way I can deface the back?
You could with like a pocket knife or something like that, a pen knife.
What if I try shooting it?
Shooting it would work.
All right, I'm gonna stand over it triumphantly and shoot it and say, "Die, motherfucker."
All right, so you bring back the handle of your, I'm gonna guess it's a revolver.
Yeah.
And that's when you hear, Hawk, it's Caleb's voice behind you.
I swing around really quick, pointing my gun.
And you see Caleb standing in the doorway to the ballroom.
What are you doing, Mr. Hawk?
There you go. Yeah, we got the original character, so yeah, go ahead and roll play this.
Caleb, you're dead.
Am I?
How do I know that you're really Caleb?
I look like Caleb.
Mm-hmm. That was your one chance.
I sound like Caleb.
Caleb's dead. Sorry.
I need you to do a sanity roll, Hawk. I need you to do three.
Three sanity rolls. Number one, 34. The second one is 35. And the last one is 13. Okay. My sanity is only... Yeah, I passed all three of them.
That's good.
However, I'm probably still going to take plenty of damage.
Yeah, so you've taken three, and then one. So you're down seven.
And actually, from the last game, I'm down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that's all within a 24-hour period.
Okay, we'll have a little bit more fun with you, Hawk. So, Hawk, all around you, the room seems to kind of... because it's pitch black.
Right.
But you can make out the walls, sort of. You can make out the windows, you can make out the curtains. But slowly it appears the walls are moving further and further away. And this includes the walls to your left and right, the wall behind you, and the ceiling.
So it feels at first cavernous, and then it feels almost as if I'm outside.
Yes.
Okay.
As you're looking around, your perception then becomes focused on Caleb, the mirror, and the door. There's no walls. You're just in complete darkness.
Okay.
It's not the mirror, Mr. Hawk. That's not the source of power.
What is the source of power?
It's the witch. Keziah, she's here.
Keziah Mason is here. Her book was destroyed.
But she came in. She's here after the book was destroyed. Or before, I'm sorry. The mirror was just a portal. She just used the mirror to get here.
Okay, so I like...
kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, sanity roll. let's see. I'm like... At this point, I think that my character would just become utterly confused as to what to believe.
And you are confused because now the floor is sort of falling away and you're just kind of floating in this pitch black void.
If it's Keziah Mason, how do we stop her?
You have a gun in your hand, right?
I do.
That's one way.
Where is she? Who is she?
I don't know. She's in the house.
I'm going to suddenly believe him. I don't know why, because I'm crazy. is there any way I can get to the door?
Yeah, just Caleb standing in the door. You can approach.
All right, so I'm going to run towards the door.
All right, and I'm going to guess, Caleb, you kind of step out of the way.
Sure.
Yeah, and Caleb's still there when you walk past. He doesn't just like disappear. He's still there.
Okay. So as I run out into the foyer, by the way, at some point I'm going to pull out my flashlight. We all had our flashlights at the other house.
All right. So Hawk pulls out his flashlight.
All right. So I get into the living room and I see the.
Yeah, you see Trent bleeding out. You see you see Tommy. You see everyone except for Felix. Felix has run away.
Okay. It's Keziah Mason. Caleb told me it was Keziah Mason. She came through the book, Trent, when you read from it. And she's here in the house, and we have to kill her. And that sounds like you're going to lock me up in about 5 minutes in Arkham Asylum. But I say it.
Caleb?
You said that to Caleb or you said that to Trent?
I said it to everybody in the front room, the foyer.
Who's Caleb?
And I'm like, I don't have time to explain that to you. Caleb's the dead guy who's visiting me.
No, like
I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
Where is Felix? Did he step outside to get a smoke?
I think he ran. I think he's somewhere upstairs.
Wait, who was the screaming upstairs? Did anyone ever find that out?
Let's get confused now. We're up on the second floor, aren't we? That's where the whole attack and everything happened with
Trent. You're on the landing of the stairs. Pulled down the stairs, and then they rushed down onto the stairs to help you. So you're kind of in between both floors.
So we can clearly see and hear Mr. Hawk.
All right. I'm going to suddenly take things into my own hands. I'm going to start up the stairs with my gun out and my flashlight.
All right. What is everyone else doing? Trent, you can walk, but with help.
Is my arm like in a sling now or something?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope someone does that for you.
No, okay, what I did was when I did your first aid, I made sure that it's in the sling and everything is tourniquet and everything that is there.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Well, I can't really use a shotgun one-handed. Does somebody else want to use this?
Sure, I'll take it. I need to get the stats for that, though.
Tommy was just about to say yes.
Well, Tom, do you want to? I mean, not Tommy. Hawk, do you want to use it? I can use your pistol.
I'm like, sure, toss it to me, and I throw you my gun.
All right.
The safety's not off. Sorry.
All right. Okay, so we're gonna jump here perspectives. We're gonna go to Felix. Felix, are you still there? He's outside.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Is there a reason why it's pitch black and we can barely hear you?
It's just dark. That's all.
Oh, it's just dark.
Yeah, I don't
want to
use my lights.
He's in the mood.
He's in the basement. The lights are out.
Okay.
So if I use my lighter, it might come.
So
it might be attracted by the light.
You're hiding.
He's a method actor.
You're hiding, and you hear the voices of your friends, but you also hear creaking kind of all around you, and you feel like a shake, you feel a jostle. What are you gonna do?
Um, I'm going to be very, very quiet and stay where I am.
All right.
And unless the creaking gets nearer, in which case I might have to radically reappraise my options. You say the creaking's all around me. I mean, is it really close?
Yeah, it's like it's on top of you. Like it's like it's around you.
Right. I don't think running would be a very good idea because I'd just be sort of running into it. Really.
Pitch black. I fucking love it. Okay. So. All right.
I'm just gonna stay here for the moment. It's you know, I feel quite secure in here, to be honest.
Felix, you feel something now.
I've got my knives out, by the way. I've got two knives left and I've got them out. Like this. I'm holding them like this.
You feel something kind of sliding between your feet as you stand still. It's like a snake.
I'm going to back away from it.
Okay. You walk back the 6 inches?
Yeah, I'm going to press myself against the wall. I think at this point, actually, I'll tell you what, I'll put one of my knives away. I'm going to light my lighter.
You see nothing, except for clothes.
Okay, well, if that's the case, I'll forego the lighter then in future. Obviously, that's not going to do me any good, is it? Sorry, hang on. I'll just I'll put my lighter out.
Okay.
And
I'm just going to
crawl back and sort of curl up in the corner with my knives out, and if it comes anywhere near me, I'm gonna stab it.
Well, it does come near you. You feel this cold metallic.
All right. Hands.
So yes, it starts stabbing, and this is when everyone hears a piercing scream. And Felix, this thing wraps around your legs, and you feel it tug at you. And you feel yourself phasing through the wardrobe. I need you to do another sanity roll.
You know, I think...
Wait, he gets to go to Narnia?
I think there's an act in this, you know. If I could put this on the stage... Oh! Oh, a 3.
All right. Well, you don't lose any sanity, but you are screaming as this happens. And well, I mean, you probably would, but we'll say you've taken enough sanity for today, and you still have sanity loss coming.
Bloody funster!
You all hear from the second bedroom, the second guest bedroom, where the first guest bedroom, where Felix was staying during the initial incident, screaming.
Well, we found Felix.
What would you like to do?
Where's it coming from? The second floor.
Well, I was going upstairs to see what she is up to.
All right, Mel Brooks. We'll head upstairs and we'll
Mel Brooks.
He looks. You can't tell me that he doesn't look like a mix between Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks.
That's the old lady from The House on Haunted Hill.
I know my movie.
Actually, I'll admit you're right.
He looks like Gene Wilder, crazy Gene Wilder from Young Frankenstein mixed with Mel Brooks. But I digress. So you guys go into the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm looking for Felix.
You open the door, Hawk, and everyone's kind of standing behind you. And at this point, you see Felix's his torso his head and his left arm protruding out of the west wall. He's screaming and writhing and reaching out for someone to help him.
I'm going to run over there and grab his hand and pull him out.
You can see he's literally sinking into the wall.
Yeah, I'm going to help him. I expect these weird
things. I will, yeah.
Bamboni, you're a great magician. The world can't live without you. Please, come back.
He's like, no one's ever said that.
What are you talking about? Almost every critic has agreed with that.
As you reach out. All right. So Hawk, you go over to help him. Does anyone else go over to help? Or are you just going to stand there? Okay.
I'll help.
Fowler goes over to help. Yeah, and as his torso starts to phase through, his neck, his neck hits next, and he begins gasping for air as the wood collapses around his throat.
Are we able to pull him out?
So you're tugging, and I need... Oh, I'll give you a chance. I need you, Hawk, and Fowler to give me luck rolls.
16. I got a good... Nope, that's a 19. Same thing.
good roll. 24.
All right. So you hear whipping from both sides, and you feel... And when you jump back, you have to let go of Felix, but you feel the wind, like a breeze, whiz by your face, as if there was something invisible within the air that whipped right by you, right by your head. However, Felix completely phases through the wall at this point, but you still hear screaming the rest of the group, and it's coming from the room where Lee Baldwin was taken.
He's in the other room. Let's run out and go.
Let's go. Screaming.
It's Felix screaming. So, who opens the door?
Not me.
Well, I will. I run right around to save him.
All right.
Totally reckless at this point.
You push through everyone. You swing open the door. And what you see is an arm protruding out of the glass mirror that's on the wall.
Little itty bitty mirror?
What?
Little itty bitty mirror?
Yeah, it's not little itty bitty. It's like... Oh. It's like a good, it's a decent medium mirror, but he's gone completely. You can see his arm completely phased through, and it's gone. Felix is gone.
I'm gonna do something weird. I'm gonna run to the mirror and see if I can reach in and grab him.
You produce your arm and you hit glass.
Shit.
Run to the other mirrors. There's other mirrors in this place.
It's one in the bathroom.
And I'm like, it's because I am Mason. We've got to stop her somehow. Yeah, run through the house. See if you can find Felix or hear him.
Hopefully we should just run around yelling his name. Well, let's all split up. That's a good idea.
Says Trent. He's nursing with one health. Well, leaned up against Tommy.
I'm staying with whoever's strongest looking. That's my plan.
Yeah. So what do you do? Felix is gone. No screams. It's completely silent.
I think we need sanity rolls at that point.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me sanity rolls, everyone.
Okay.
Good plan there.
I did not pass.
I pass.
Everyone who failed, give me a 1d4. Everyone who passed, still take one off.
I failed by 6. Can I use 6 luck to not fail?
No.
What do I have to take? What? Is that
1d4. 1d4 for those who lost 1 point if you pass.
I think I'm snapping a little. I'm going to run through the house to every mirror I find and try to push my hand into it or call out or see if I can find a way in to get to Felix.
So, Hawk, in your frenzy, you open the door to the servants' room and you see Danielle, her head smashed like a grape.
Danielle, are you okay?
Got a bit of a headache.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Okay. Do I do another sanity roll?
No. No, calm down. You just want to, everyone, we're going to make sure that no one hits, you know, permanent insanity by the end of this scenario. I hope we don't.
Alright, so I see her and I'm like, holy crap! But I have a mission. I'm going to rescue Felix. It's the last thing I do.
So Hawk is running around banging his hand in the mirrors and it's not doing anything. What's everyone else doing?
I'm following somebody who looks strong enough to keep me from dying. Which is...
should be Fowler, because Fowler's the hurt.
Yeah, we'll say that Fowler's kind of propping you up.
You froze, Sean.
Oh, sorry.
You were looking for somebody who could protect you, and then you
froze. I just want to stay behind somebody who's and I said it wasn't you because you're going doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, we'll say between Fowler and myself, Tommy.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Okay. So you should
really sit down there. You shouldn't be walking around in that condition.
I don't want to sit down in this place by myself. Something elite.
So what do you guys do? Hawk's trying something, but it's not working.
Well, I'm going to do something next, but I'll go ahead and let them say what they're going to do first.
Ideas.
I'm going to run back down to the foyer and yell, "Kazaya Mason, show yourself."
Nothing happens. It's completely silent.
And I start calling her all sorts of foul names.
Okay, so Hawk's downstairs cursing. What's everyone else doing?
You hairy bitch, get out here and face me.
Did you go into all the rooms upstairs then, Mr. Hawk?
Yeah, pretty much. Just from door to door, throwing them open. And if there was a mirror, I banged on it. And
should we check the mirror downstairs?
I'm on my way, but as I ran downstairs, I stopped in the foyer and I said, "Kazaya, show yourself, you hairy bitch."
Well, if I had my senses about me, I would suggest we get Trent to a hospital.
You gonna walk him there?
We gotta finish this.
I don't know if I have my senses about me.
Try to keep me out of harm's way if you can, but let's just finish this.
Well, I don't have a car to leave. I don't know.
In a couple minutes, everybody's going to realize that Trent's behind all of this. He started it.
Me?
Moi?
Moi?
I'll take my pistol out and start following Mr. Hawk.
Okay. What is Henry and Felix doing?
I'm not too keen on splitting up the group, so I'm following him.
All right. And Trent, you're kind of propped up with Tommy and Fowler, so I'm guessing you're going with them.
I'm going with them, but I'm keep being cautious as I can be. I'm the ear. of this operation.
All right. So Hawk and the group following Hawk, you enter into the ballroom. You see the mirror, all of its symbols on the back. But you don't feel anything like you used to. It's just kind of just, it's just a room.
Is, do I, can I still see Caleb anywhere?
Nope. Caleb's gone. The manifestation has left you.
Well, I'm going to yell, Caleb, I could use your help right now.
Nothing.
Run, you fools.
And then gets pulled down by the invisible beast.
I think at this point, if I've run through, if I've run through the other parts of the house, if I don't feel anything here, I'm going to leave this room and go to the parlor or whatever other room where there's a mirror. I'm still trying to find Felix.
Okay. You guys run throughout the entire house looking at every single mirror. You look deep into the mirrors. You put your hands in the mirrors. Nothing happens. There's glass.
Then there comes a point where I'm like back in the parlor and I just look around in despair and I sit down on the couch and I'm like, well, shit.
Well, now we know what happened to Mr. Baldwin. Maybe they're together.
So Felix knows what happened to Mr. Baldwin.
Right.
But that doesn't really make sense. Nobody read the, I mean, if this witch is behind this, nobody read the book before, you know, to summon her or anything like that, unless she was already out. And maybe just reading the book has made her more powerful. I don't know.
If Keziah Mason was a real person and the stories are true, she was an extremely powerful person back then. Like I say, the old stories say that she actually never was executed, that they locked her in a cell and she drew some things on the wall with her own blood and vanished. Strange angles and shapes, they said. And now she's back, and...
Is she this invisible force that we keep seeing evidence of?
Or behind the invisible force?
Guiding it?
Is there any way Amelia could know where we are right now?
Nope. Daniel Radley is going to come home in the morning.
Is there a phone in this place?
So we haven't seen Radley's body.
No.
Yeah, is there a phone in this place?
Yes.
Probably out, but
you don't have power, yeah.
What candles? No. Can we get light in here?
Yeah, you can probably find some candles.
I've actually made a mistake mentally.
Power.
I keep thinking that we're in a remote location, like the Jardin's house. We're actually in town, aren't we?
No.
The Radley house?
We are in a remote, yeah.
We're not like miles from everything, are we? We're
there's the miles of trees that and woods that stretch out back.
Why don't... Look, there's death and destruction all around us. There's no telling whether we're going to survive or not. But you could attempt to get Trent to that farmhouse, and maybe you could borrow their truck and you could take it into town, get him to the hospital.
How far is that? That's the question.
About 3 miles, if you remember.
3 miles. It's we have a thunderstorm going on out there in the middle of the woods, not even knowing exactly where this guy's house is. I mean, it's worth a try.
Well, how many miles is it to town
from here? About five.
All right, so does this place have a garage? We haven't even checked to see if there's an additional car.
No garage.
Okay.
Well, I can go if that's what the group thinks is the best idea.
Well, if you go, somebody needs to go with you.
It is at this moment that you all kind of hear a whisper. I need a listen roll from all of you.
Oh, yes. Just a regular pass.
Okay.
Ooh, I got no two.
I got a miserable fail.
Pass.
We'll say that everyone kind of hears a voice, but Henry, your ears for an old man are sharp, and you hear, "Hello! Oh, I'm so happy you're awake!" kind of echoing. And like the wind.
Does it say anything else?
Yes, you hear, "What is this place? Where am I?" And it's Felix's voice. And then it goes away.
What was that noise?
It sounded like Felix.
Look around. I look up. Is there a mirror in this room?
There's a mirror, but it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like it came from this room. It doesn't really sound like it came from anywhere. It just kind of just echoed in. It just kind of phased in.
Well, oddly enough, it's the first thing I think of. I jump up and look at the mirror, and I'm going, "Felix, can you hear us?"
And Felix, because I know you can hear me, first things first, remember to reply to the private messages. you do hear Hawk kind of in the distance.
Oops.
So we all, I'm sure instinctively we all go dead silent and try to hear if we can hear a response.
Yeah. Is he still here? Maybe he's still here.
Can you hear me? Well, hello? Hello?
It's completely silent. You don't hear anything.
Oh.
We'll continue our conversation though, Mick. Don't worry.
I'm like, did you guys hear him? I swear I heard him. He's calling us from the other side.
I can't hear anything.
Sounded like he was right behind you.
I'd like to hear an ambulance, is what I'd like to hear.
Well, maybe next time you would think twice before reading Strange Tomes.
I was trying to save Tommy.
Was there anything in the book about how to deal with this invisible creature?
Not that I read. Did someone not burn the book?
I believe they did.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it go up?
Well, if it wasn't burnt, maybe we might know if there was a way to deal with this. Anyway, sorry.
Mr. Trent.
Yes.
Give me an intelligence roll.
Oh, maybe I read something. I should. That is a pass.
You realize that Hawk took time with almost every mirror in the house except the one that Felix went through.
Mm-hmm. Only mirror Mr. Hawk didn't really spend some time looking and examining was the one that Felix went through, guys. Just came to my mind, diverting attention from my use of the book.
Of course I
did you take it off the wall? Did you look at it like the other one? I'm just thinking.
All right, let's go back upstairs. So.
Okay. And you rush upstairs, and you're now in the bedroom. The mirror is hung on the wall.
I think I'm going to quietly and silently say a little prayer to God for some reason, because I'm not sure I believe, but at the same time, maybe it doesn't hurt. Maybe there are angels that'll help us. Please let there be angels. Anyways, I look at the mirror, and can we remove it from the wall?
Yeah, you grab it and remove it from the wall. When you look finally at it, you can see that the rim, it's actually inside. So it looks like there's like a glass or porcelain, like a translucent filament that encircles the glass. And inside of this filament is what look like jade dragons.
So it looks Asian.
Yes.
That's weird. Interesting. I flip it around.
You flip it around, and you see just one symbol. It's unlike any of the symbols that you've seen before. That were on like the black mirror downstairs, or in Kazai Mason's book, and it looks old.
Does like, it look like an Asian symbol of some sort?
Yes, most of the symbols that you're seeing look to be somewhat like Sino Tibetan. They if you remember, the linguist that. Henry and Caleb went to in the previous scenario said that this language is Sino-Tibetan in nature. Hawk, I need you. What is your Cthulhu mythos at?
Just about 10%, unless it's grown since.
I need you then to roll me. What do I want to say? Roll a power roll.
17.
As you're staring at this symbol, you're trying to fit. You're looking at the lines and the intricacies. And you can almost read it. You almost know what this says. Who has the lowest sanity?
I have 56 at the moment. But I've lost the most, probably.
That's lower than 9.
47.
I have 64.
I have 58.
Mr. Tommy, I need you to do a power roll as well.
Ooh, nope, fail. 82 out of 60. It's because I just bragged about my dice being out.
You, this, despite failing... The events of what's happened tonight haven't muddied your mind. They've seemed to clear it. And you know what that symbol says, and you don't know how. It says gate.
I think it says gate.
And Hawk, when Tommy says that, you can make it out too. It says gate.
Gate.
Okay. And to the rest of you, it's like it's just a symbol. But they seem adamantly to believe that this symbol, whatever it is, means a word.
How is it that we know we can tell what this is? I reach out and I touch the symbol. You said it's carved into it?
Yeah, it's carved into the back. And you run your finger along it, and you can feel it's jagged, like it was made with a blunt tool, and it's old. You can see the lime buildup and the copper buildup when you kind of run your hand across it.
Gate. This is the gate. This is a gate. But how do you activate it? How do you? If we can figure out how to activate it, we can bring Felix back, I hope.
Or we can go wherever he is. The sand. It's a pot.
Excuse me, Mr. Gate. Could you open for us, please?
Open sesame.
So you're holding the mirror. What do you want to do with it?
Let's put it back up on the wall, see if that helps.
All right. We put it back up on the wall. I'm looking at the jade dragons.
Okay.
Hawk,
you're looking at the jade dragons, and you can see that the jade dragons, they have on their bodies finely carved symbols all along them. But as you're looking at it, and I'm going to guess that the rest of you are looking at this mirror as well, it's almost like the reflection in the mirror is stretching.
It's working. Keep doing what you're doing, Mr. Hawk.
All right. Is there any way are we starting to understand the symbols that are on the dragons?
Not particularly, no. But clearly you're doing something right.
So if I move my hand along the dragon's body, like in the direction of the writing.
No, nothing really happens, but you can while you're looking at this mirror, Hawk, the image stretches and stretches, and you can see almost the intricacies of the glass, like a window.
Okay. So I just keep staring at it then. Can I try to reach out and touch it once again, see if I can reach in.
I need you to sacrifice one sanity and one magic point.
Okay. I'm down to 55 and one magic point. Where are my magic points? Oh, I got 15 magic points. Wow. All right, so down to 40.
Hawk's arm goes through the mirror.
How does it feel? Cold? Nothing?
It doesn't feel like anything.
Did it? What did you do? How'd you do it?
Well, as my hand's inside, I go, Felix, can you hear me? I yell it.
And you don't really hear anything. Yeah, stick your face in there.
Well, that's where I'm going.
Well, let me give you kind of an explanation of what you're seeing. You're not seeing like a ripple. You're seeing Hawk's arm literally go through the frame of the mirror, as if there's no glass there, like there's another room hidden behind.
Right.
There is a slight shimmer and a slight ripple, but it just looks like your hand is...
Well, I'm also moving into my own reflection, aren't I?
Not really. It seems like the more that you look at it, the more your reflection disappears.
Okay. So I am going to partially climb through and look around.
All right. So you go through?
Yep.
Hawk goes through. He's gone.
So they can't see me once I've gone in there.
Nope, they cannot see you.
Okay.
But the image remains. If that elongated, your reflections are kind of dissipating look. What do the rest of you do?
No, why did you do that?
Can I turn around and stick my head back out and say, "Boo"? It's kind of cool.
In doing so, you know that you'd have to sacrifice another sanity point and another magic point.
Okay. Can I just put my hand back out?
You would still sacrifice. It's still the amount of magic.
Okay. I'm going to do it, and if my hand comes out, I'm just going to give one of those.
Yeah. All right, so you guys see a hand come out. So Hawk sacrifices those.
Thumbs up.
And he holds his hand out for you to take it.
Oh, I like that idea.
I'm in.
I'll take his hand.
Oh, you go first. I only have one hand, so.
Okay. So, Hawk, will you hold...
Do I need to sacrifice the sanity?
No. Okay. No. Hawk kind of just pulls you through. And like I said, it's like you kind of slip through a window, almost like an open window, into another room. What do the others do? What do Tommy and Trent do? Henry's disappeared.
I'll look at Trent and say, or Tommy and say, "What do you want to do? You want to go?"
I don't know. Not really.
Or do we just burn the place down?
Now we break the mirrors.
Now can I break them?
Can I yell?
You should have got them to sign over their insurance to us first.
Sure, you can yell at the mirror. I don't know what it's going to do.
I'm curious if they can hear me.
But you shout, but they don't hear anything.
Because what if somebody has to stay on this side in order to pull them back? The same way that he's pulling us in.
Well, Hawk also put his arm back through, so you know that there is a way.
Oh, right. Okay.
If that was my arm, then...
That was your alternative evil.
Yeah, it's the no mustache version of Tom.
Well, I have a mole right there, except that when my hand came through, the mole was right there.
Well, I'm going to follow Trent wherever he goes.
So what does Trent do?
Put it on me.
Mm-hmm.
I've only got one hit point, but let's go. What the heck?
All right. Trent, I'm going to say that Tommy's kind of hauling you over there. You stick your arm through, sacrificing one magic point and one sanity point.
Okay.
But you and Tommy both slip into this other world. When the four of you are in this world and you look around, you now notice that this is not another room. It's a reflection of the room you're in, and the walls and floor and ceiling are all mirrors. It's like a crazy fun house.
But we can see each other?
Yeah, you can see each other. You're there. It's like you're standing on...
In the super mirror room?
Yeah, it's like you're standing in a super mirror room.
So it looks like reflections going off into the distance forever?
Yes.
In all directions.
If this is Bamboni's trick,
bravo. Welcome to the fun house, yeah.
Bravo, he did an excellent job. There is no better magician, I will say, in the world.
So, yeah.
So is it just a square room, or can, if we move in a direction, does it change or stretch, or...
Yeah, when you move, Hawkey, when you take the first step, you can actually see that if you just focus hard enough, you can see a path. It's like you're in a glass cave.
Okay. let's follow this path, see where it goes. And once again, I just yell out, Felix, can you hear us?
And Felix, you hear this in full volume.
Yes.
And you hear his echo. And then you hear, all of you hear, oh, goody. Oh, and shit. You hear clapping.
Do we have an idea where that clapping is coming from, or that voice?
Yeah, down the path.
Okay. Well, let's keep... That's not... I don't know who that is.
I think I know who it is. But yeah, let's go.
Maybe it's...
It seems like we are guessing her private... Is it a feminine voice?
No, it is a human man voice.
Oh. Maybe it's elite. Maybe it's Mr. Baldwin.
No, I'd recognize Baldwin, wouldn't I?
All right. So we head down. We're heading towards Felix.
That is a good question. Do we recognize the voice?
Nope, you do not recognize this voice at all.
Okay. So we start heading towards Felix.
So as you guys are walking, you see that this mirrored cavern path branches off many different ways. It goes up, it goes down, it goes left, right, to the side. It goes everywhere, in every which way. And when you guys look down some of these paths, you see some kind of moon. You see a cave with phosphorescent goo.
Is it a gibbous moon?
Hmm? Say it again?
I say, is it a gibbous moon?
No.
Yuck, you call it a moon.
No. And you see all these different places. You see floating cities with these what look like winged dragons flying through the clouds. It's fantastical. And Hawk, as the group kind of presses on down the path towards the voice, you turn and look straight up one, and you see a dark city by the lake with two broken moons. Just like in your visions.
I've seen this before.
So, you guys walk down the path, and the path, all these interconnecting chambers all seem to lead into one area. And it's a rather large antechamber with a domed roof. Flat, kind of jagged floor, because it's mirrors upon mirrors. It's all over the place. There's no real flat footing. But you see Felix just sitting there in the middle of this room.
Felix.
And
you took your bloody time, didn't you?
And you then hear the voice say, and then you hear the voice say, yes, they did. And you see a man standing in the corner of this room. And there's kind of papers all over the place in this corner. All these different symbols, all these writings. There's English, you can see, but also some of the first language. He is a man in about his 60s or something. He's an elderly man, slightly balding. He's wearing what looks like a sitting robe, pajama pants, and a white button-up shirt. And he's got this big, jolly smile on his face. And he says, I haven't had guests in so long. Well, I mean, guests that I've enjoyed. And he kind of chuckles.
Excuse me. Perhaps some introductions. What the hell is my name? Clifton Hawk?
Hawk. Oh, you're Clifton Hawk. My name is... Oh, what is my name? And he kind of scratches at his chin and goes, what is my... It starts with an Abram Jardins. That's it.
Mr. Jardins.
Yes.
You are the man who makes the mirrors. Are you
well,
not?
I did make the mirrors. What
the hell is that noise? Oh. I'm stunned. I don't know what to say.
And he just, please, sit down. He kind of points to the room and he says, sit down, I'll explain everything. I don't really have food or drink because we don't need them. Not here, at least. By the way, what day is it? I don't really necessarily know. There's no day or night here.
It's I forget what day it is.
It is 1930.
Yeah. Were we keeping track of the days from the beginning?
Not particularly. It's July 8th.
That's right. We did start on 4th of July. Don't be shocked, Mr. Jardins, but it's mid-July 1930.
Well, I've been gone for some time. I guess that makes me 115? And he says, and that is the truth. And he smiles and says, well, don't just stand. Sit.
All right. We sit.
And he goes, somebody
is rubbing up against their microphone. It's making some scratching noises.
Oh, that's my papers.
Oh.
He goes, I am so happy that you're all here. Well, now, the last person Fido brought back, he panicked a little bit. And, you know.
Fido?
Yes, Fido.
Your invisible thing that grabs people?
Well, he's not invisible here.
Thing that bites off pieces of arms and... You know.
He does that with strangers. He just doesn't understand that guests are guests and you don't hurt guests. But then again, sometimes recently he's been exiting our little abode. I don't really know how. And he itches his chin and he goes, that's fine. Ask me your questions, and then I'll get to my point.
What do you have to do with Keziah Mason?
Keziah Mason? And he laughs and he says, I don't know anything about Keziah Mason.
What is this place?
Well, I don't really know what this place is. I assume it's where Fido lives. And I guess it's where I've lived for the last, and he counts on his hand, he goes, 40 years.
What have you been doing for 40 years, man?
Oh, you know, sitting, thinking. I've done a little bit of walking around here. I've tried mapping it out, but it just keeps going on and on and on and on. So there's really no point.
Where do all these mirrors go?
Well, they go other places. They go to reflecting pools. They go to shining stars. They go to windows. They go to mirrors. They go any place that a reflection can be.
Well, how did you discover this? How did you find your way in here?
That's the interesting and honestly the tragic part. I once was, and I guess I still am, a connoisseur of the occult. I believed that there's a fourth dimension that we just can't perceive. And I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about literally a dimension that is on top of ours. And I believe that mirrors were the access ways to these places. So I did some studying, and I did a lot of buying, let me tell you. I did a lot of buying. But I finally came across a mirror that answered my question. Are they gateways? And they are. The mirror that I'm going to assume you came through, just like I did, and just like your one friend did, it was a mirror I purchased from the Orient, from China. And on it was this symbol. And I couldn't understand why, but I understood this symbol. And so I did everything in my power to learn more about them. And the more I learned, the more I realized that these symbols, they're not some kind of language. They're some kind of thought process. They're some kind of, I don't know, they do something. And so I began making mirrors with the symbols on them, on the back. I didn't want them on the front, like the one I got. But then I started learning more and more about summoning things. And I had to try it. So I got the original mirror, set it up, did my little spiel, and out came Fido. Now, we can't perceive him in reality. He's, I don't really know. I don't know what he's made of. He's made of glass and mirror stuff here, I think. But that's really unimportant. You see, what is important is that the binding process wasn't complete when he came through. And apparently Fido was hungry, so he grabbed me. You see, Fido eats by absorbing them and making them into rock, and then he eats the rock. It's how he obtains sustenance. It's what happened to your friend. He panicked a little too much, and Fido just couldn't get him through the mirror without, you know, beginning the process. So when I found him, he was just a bunch of rubble. But that's unimportant. You see, let's get back to me. The binding process wasn't complete. And so he grabbed me and pulled me in. And when I was through, the binding was complete. And now he's my little guy. But I can't leave. I'm stuck here. Fido can occasionally go out. But that's only if someone looks into the mirror for a rather long time. It kind of opens up a gateway that closes eventually.
And that's any mirror? Any of the ones?
No.
Any of these mirrors that he made and sold, I would believe. How many of these mirrors have you made?
Oh, I've made quite a lot. About 24 to be precise. But this mirror is special because the other mirrors, there's something wrong with them. This is the only mirror that allows a two-way street. It allows us to enter and for us to leave. Well, everyone except for me.
And Fido. Fido's able to enter and exit through these mirrors?
Yes. So, that leads me to my little thing. That's why you're sitting here now.
You want to go back?
I want to go back. Yes, that's exactly correct. You guys, you're so smart. I'm glad that you were the ones that were in the house when Fido went out.
I want to ask a couple of questions. I can't remember all the names, but what about the professor from the Crimson Letters and the mirror in his office? Was that
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You never met this Mr. whatever his name was?
Well, I've been here for 40 years. I've never met anybody probably your age. You were all non-existent when I was around.
Well, your Fido is killing people.
Well, he doesn't mean it.
I understand that, but he's still killing people.
Well, I can try and stop him, but...
So how do you propose getting out if you can't get out?
Well, that's where we kind of dive in a little bit. You see, I've been here for so long, and I've learned a lot. So when Fido left, I began writing these things down. And what I found is that we are inside of a living being at all times. This being is called Vog-Sothoth. It is the gate, and it is the key. We are inside of it, and yet it is outside of us, and so on and so forth. It's very complex and very convoluted, but I've written it all down here. And he begins pulling out the papers and showing you depictions of Yog-Sothoth and everything associated with them. He says, I've been doing 40 years of research. So this is all factual proof, in my opinion. So Yog-Sothoth is the gate and the key. So what do we do? If he's the gate, he can let us out. Let me out. And if he's the key, it means that he needs to let us out. And how do we do that? Well, we just need to sacrifice. So, I need one of you so that I can get out. And I know that you want to help me. We're friends. And I'm glad that there's honestly a lot of you, because I don't really know how many it's going to take to make him happy. If it is a him, it could be something beyond our comprehension of gender. I don't know. But I don't really know how many it's going to take. So I'm glad that there's actually five of you. And now that Mr. Rayleigh. I've heard his voice a few times. Mr. Rayleigh. Once Mr. Rayleigh starts bringing more and more people into the house, and even Rayleigh himself, I can use them too. So you see, why would you say that?
Why would I say what?
Why would you...
I'm starting to comprehend what you're saying now.
I'm curious, where is Fido now?
Oh, he's around. He's, all I need to do is, I just need to call him and he can show. Do you want him?
I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot him between the eyes.
And
all right.
That escalated quickly.
I feel like if I give any indication that I'm going to do that, it's not going to happen, but we need to get the fuck out of here.
All right. Give him... okay, yeah. You go ahead and roll. Mm-hmm.
47.
All right. Now he's going to do a dodge. Is yours a heart?
No.
Okay, let me look. What is half of 45?
23.
Well, okay, you got a heart. So, you fire, and he kind of steps out of the way just as the bullet whizzes by, and he goes, "Now, that was rude." And he holds out his hand.
Oh, he was just trying to shoot a fly that was buzzing around your ear.
And he is going to...
I think no. I'll need to open fire.
I'm harmless.
I need... So he's going to spend... Where are your magic points? Right there. Okay. He's going to spend 2 luck points, and he is going to use Shrivel. So I need... Hawk to go ahead and give me a power roll. Did you pass?
Got a double zero.
Alrighty, so that's a critical fail.
GM, can I control him?
Not in this turn, no.
Okay. Sorry.
Hawk, you all see this happen. You see this black ichor shoot out, stab at Hawk, and you see Hawk's veins go black. It does 11 damage.
Hack.
Then I am kaput.
Oh boy.
Are you unconscious?
Oh, I'm negative. 11, I am negative 5.
All right.
I'm blown away.
Hawk collapses to the ground, dead. So, yeah, you don't have to leave. But Hawk collapses to the ground, his body shrivels up like a raisin. And Abram kind of smiles, and he looks around and he says, "Well, that didn't work. Let's try another one." All right, so we're going to go over to Tommy. Tommy, what do you want to do?
Oh, man. I want to run.
All right. Tommy runs. He books it. Mr. Felix, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm a little taken back by this. I mean, the others came here voluntarily. I was brought here. I mean, I don't think that's fair.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw a knife at him.
Go ahead.
Oh, 11.
Booked it. Okay.
Out of 60.
Well, he failed.
So that's an extreme.
So go ahead and roll the normal dice, and well, it's not a critical, so we won't double the damage.
That's a massive 1d4 plus 2, which is 3 plus 2 is 5.
All right, so you throw the knife and it stabs right into his belly, and he yells in pain and kind of grips the knife and then pulls it out and says, "Thank you." Like a madman who's going to charge with a knife that he threw into his belly.
All right, come on then.
Trent, what would you like to do?
I would like to perform that second bit of magic that I have learned from the book. The bends okay. The will of the target to the caster's will, blah, 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 blah.
I need you to spend your magic points.
Yes,
whatever magic side it costs.
One magic, one sanity. And I tell
right. He's now going to roll a power check.
Yep.
He got a 7. So he kind of shakes it off and he smiles and says, Now, here is a person who understands. And now it's Henry's turn.
Dagnabbit.
I am going to I think I'm gonna run. I'm gonna follow
I'm like, we have to work together. Alright, so Henry has also left. So
I'm trying to get him back.
So
is there
Yes, Henry?
So is there anything in the environment that we could use?
No.
Is it possible to, you said like the area is sort of made up of like mirrors. Is it possible to like smash one and?
Not really. Not really. This is a place beyond our reality. So the laws of physics as we know it are kind of, you guys are a part of your own reality that is in another reality.
Can I do an intelligence check to see if, since we're outside of our normal reality and outside of the laws of physics, if I can sort of bend the rules or no?
Give me an intelligence roll.
I just make it 69 out of 70.
From what you can tell, creatures from another reality that are in this reality are still bound to their own physics. So no.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go searching for Jeff. So.
Okay. So Henry and Tommy have run away. This leaves Abram's turn. Abram is going to, let's see, what are you going to do, bucko? You don't have a brawl, so he's just going to use shrivel again. And he's going to use it this time on Mr. Trent.
Ah!
So... give me a, so he's going to use the magic point, give me a sanity roll. Or not a sanity roll, a power roll.
Done. 12. Good.
All right. You still take 1 damage.
Okay. 1 damage? Damn it.
So you collapse to the ground. I don't think you're dead.
Well, I'm like down. I know what I...
Yeah. So, Felix, you're the only one left standing.
Right, and I'm good.
And Abram looks at you, and he smiles and says, "T?" He's crazy.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Have you got any Indian tea or just China?
And he says, "No, but I'd like to see what the insides of your body look like."
You weird spiritual bastard. I'm going to punch him in the face.
You're going to charge
him. As hard as I possibly can.
Oh my
I'm just going to give him a bloody right hook right in the jaw. Pow, Alice, right on the kisser.
Okay. Go ahead.
If I'm going to die, mate, I'm going out fighting. I tell you, I'm... Right.
He failed. You don't need to roll. You don't need. He failed.
Oh, I got 8.
All right. Well, he failed miserably, anyways. So go ahead and give me a damage roll.
Clunk. Oh, I did 3 damage. I properly got him there.
Yeah, socked him in the nose, and he collapses to the ground. He's kind of starting to bleed out.
Right. I'm just gonna get on top of him and keep punching him in the face. Right. Repeatedly with my
and you should give me a dodge roll.
A dodge roll. What's my dodge?
You got a 40, which is a pass, but I need you to give me a head. Go ahead and give me
I
a
got
roll.
A that's not 200, is it? That's 20. I got a 20.
Okay, well...
So I get confused by the Elder Sign one sometimes.
So he takes the knife and he tries jabbing it into your ribs, but you kind of lean up and then sock it in the face. So give me damage.
Okay, that's two that time.
All right. Now I'm going to see if this works. Let's see. I've written this written down somewhere.
That's really loud, Thomas, that paper in the mic.
I know. It's because the paper is right here. So I can't let you guys
see. At this point, I'm deliberately thumping him in the mouth so he can't. I just want him to shut up. Shut up.
Hawk, I need you to give me a high or a low. Okay, here, so I'm
dead.
High.
I'm dead. It would be low.
It would be low?
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
I'm so low.
Felix, you sock Abram in the face. He's out cold. And then
I'm not going to stop.
Well, you will stop after gasp. Hawk sits up straight.
That was fun.
He's completely fine. He's got like 3 health, is what I have read. He has 3 health.
Do you want to help me stomp this schmuck?
Yeah, where's everybody else?
Oh, they've run. They ran off like yellow chickens.
Well, and considering that, considering what he was proposing, I think we need to off him. I look around for my gun.
Yeah, where's your shotgun?
Hawk, when you turn to like try and find your gun, you see in one of the mirrors a white, like an albino Native American man who's just standing there staring at you.
A white Native American man. Isn't that a contradiction?
Like albino. Like he's like, he is painted white.
So he's dressed like an American Indian?
Yes. Specifically a Cherokee.
Well, my purpose is set.
See if he's got a tomahawk.
But it's not like he's in the room. It looks like he's like in the reflections of the mirrors. And he's staring back at you. And when you look at him, it looks like he's saying something.
Felix, do you see that guy?
Do I see?
And when you turn, in the blink of an eye, he's gone. And that's when you hear the roar of Fido as something comes trampling down a path.
Okay, well, I'm going to just turn to Jardins and shoot him right between the eyes as he's laying on the ground.
And he smiles up at you. And when you bring back the hammer, he says, "Oh, what it is to be free." And bang, blows brains out.
Okay.
Ew.
The bind. Now, Trent, because you are a Mr. Wizard over here, you feel the binding has worn off, which means there's nothing stopping the creature from leaving.
I'm unconscious.
Oh, you're unconscious. I forgot about that. Just kidding. You know that, though.
I know it. I'm just dreaming about it.
Yeah.
In my coma.
We're going to say that Hawk has come over to you and he's woken you up, because I'm assuming the Mech is going to leave you here.
Right. I'm going to grab Felix as if he's my best friend, and I'm going to grab Trent as if I want to beat him up later, but...
But I'm at zero.
I'm going to try and drag them out.
Sure. Tommy...
I'll have Trent over my shoulder.
Tommy, you are the first one through the mirror, and Henry, you are the second. Now, Hawk, Well, no, we're gonna say it's Felix. Ah, Felix. Felix, you're kind of dragging Hawk, who's still weak from the shriveling, and Trent, who is bleeding out, and you're pushing through this path, and you see the window into Radley's house. But then you turn around and you see this crab-like creature, all reflective, tendrils coming out of its back, scuttling towards you. Two of the tendrils wrap around Trent, and one wraps around Hawk. The decision is yours. You can't save both. You can save only one, or you can leave both. There is still a possibility that you will not make it out alive.
Well, you know, I'm going to save Hawk. Chance of surviving. I mean, Trent has lost his arm. He's
and you put a knife in my back. Oh, sorry, I'm unconscious.
Yeah, and I did throw a knife in his back previously, which I have to admit has put a sort of a dampener on any chance of us forming a lasting friendship.
It still hurts.
I feel that he does bear a grudge.
Can I try yelling at Fido and saying, sit?
No. So, Felix, you let go of Trent. And the tendrils bring him closer. And Trent, you open your eyes to see the splitting maw of this crab-like creature.
I can't control it, eh?
Nope. Not enough, but... And it literally, it begins, the tendrils, you feel it start to crystallize you as you scream, and then it shoves you into its mouth. Trent Sterling is dead.
Sorry.
Hawk, you semi-witness this.
Right.
You and... I'm surprised. I'm surprised you can leave both of you.
I just grabbed Bamboni and we gotta run like hell.
Yep. The creature is distracted and you run through the mirror. So Tommy and Henry, you see Felix and Hawk come through the mirror.
And I scream, smash the fucking mirror.
Yeah, I'll pick up chair or bed.
It's coming. It's coming. Smash the fucking mirror.
And I'll smash the mirror.
All right. You smash the mirror and it shatters completely.
And then I'll systematically go around the house and smash all the mirrors.
Yep. And you do so. All the mirrors have been broken. The sun is coming up. You can see Radley's car approaching. And now we wonder what happens next, such as why Hawk didn't die.
No.
Who is the Native American man who he saw in the mirrors? Who are the Germans? What's going on?
Who's the Baron?
Who's the Baron? Where did Wick go? But you've lost Trent.
Poor Trent. I liked Trent.
And we're going to end there.
Cool. That was really a good story.
Yeah, that was good, even though I died.
Sorry, Sean.
All right, my back's still sore. I'll remember this.
It's just, you know, there wasn't much left of you. So I thought.
No, it's all good. And it was your damn fault anyway for reading the book. All right, so... our players included Corey Heistad, Sean Little, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, Wayne Worthy, and myself, Thomas McKeon as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. Our musical intro, entitled Insidious, is provided royalty-free from Purple Planet Music. We're also providing audio-only versions of our show free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for our latest updates. You'll find links to everything that I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.